So it was a lovely time to be able to be together as part of the same family of all ages. And it's always like that, actually, on Sundays too. But when you have a weekend, you can go so much further. I wonder what would happen if we had a whole week, actually, together, in just growing together, in enjoying the Lord together, and being brothers and sisters. And this particular weekend, Pastor Gary, who's an IBC pastor as well, from way down South Germany, Ramstein, in a church that's 85% a military, American military church, so different in that respect to us, came and was our speaker. And he, I think, was really helping us to consider, how do we live this new life together that Jesus has given us, which we share, arm-locked, if you like, together? How do we live that life now? What does it mean when we are alive in Jesus? And he pointed us, took us back to four different pictures, really, from the New Testament, most of which from the Acts of the Apostles, like a blueprint, if you like, of our DNA. Because we have come, as a Christian church today, we've come from those early beginnings. It started in Jerusalem and from Antioch and went on from there. This operation of a family that's also a living organism together. And the main reading, I think we had four, but we won't do all those four today. But let me just read to you the first reading that he brought, which is perhaps the earliest one that we should always refer to, from Acts chapter 2. Our forefathers, the first church from which all these other churches have split off and multiplied and reproduced to where we are today and how it will go on. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This first church changed very fast. This first church knew why they were there, because it was only a short time since they had heard the Lord Jesus Christ say, "Now you've come to me, I send you out. You will go into the world and make disciples of all nations. You will baptize them and you will teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you." This is the mission that we're often reminded about in the church. And Gary said many things that I wrote down, because they were good quotes, and he gave us some notes as well, so some of you have those notes. And he said that the mission of the church, that at all times, from Jerusalem all the way out to where we are today, is generally the same thing. And we already know that. It is generally to do what Empart was doing, to do what is happening in Trieste, to impact our community, and in our case, the international community, and the world beyond, by multiplying disciples of Jesus Christ, and multiplying leaders, and multiplying congregations. That is always the general mission of the Christian church down through history. And so we saw in those readings, those verses, a church that was mobilized to fulfill those things. And he pointed out that a mobilized church is also a church that is balanced, where we do all those things that we said to the children we would do, with teaching and worship and prayer and service and evangelism and fellowship and so on. And in their case, they still had the Jewish temple court and they had each other's homes, and that's what they were growing into here. And we have to see what our case is and how we do it here. But the first thing to say, really, is it's important that we have a clear vision from God, and a big vision God has a big vision, not that we want to be big ourselves, but that God is big. And God has a huge task. I mean, the vision that imparts, say, 100,000 churches in 30 years, from 2000 when they started to 2030, you'd think that's crazy. But actually, the statistician has said, as we know, they're already more than on track, already more than 18,000 church plants in that time. And because of the multiplication trajectory, they could go beyond 100,000 in that time. This is God's kind of vision. This is the kind of vision I believe that God has given to our family of churches called the International Baptist Convention. If you look on their website, their mission statement is the general one that we all have. We exist to mobilize and multiply disciple-making churches. The specific vision is we envision a movement of global-minded churches. Global-minded churches, not just looking at Bremen, but looking out as we've done tonight. Global-minded churches that are reproducing healthy disciples, leaders, and congregations. I find that an exciting and compelling vision. I looked at Frontline's website too. Gary told us some of this. Their mission on their website is the mission is to make disciples. Again, it's the general mission that all churches have. Our mission is to glorify God by exalting Jesus Christ and expanding his kingdom in the lives of people everywhere. Our vision, they put it like this, to gather, build, mentor, plant. They have listened to God together and worked out together a more specific way of putting that general vision into terms for where they're at now. So they say, we want to be a come and see church where we gather believers and the unchurched in our community, to build and equip followers of Jesus to make disciples locally and globally, to be a mentor and resource for churches, pastors, and missions within the International Baptist Convention and beyond, and to plant new campuses, congregations, and churches. That's quite a specific vision. And Gary was saying that as the early church, the first church in Jerusalem, had this clear understanding of the general mission, they were very mobilized to put that into practice in their local situation in Jerusalem, and God was working there. So it's the same dynamic for us, wherever we are, that same dynamic of growth and development is still within us. It's within our DNA. And so he's encouraging us also to find this kind of vision. I was encouraged by that because I think that's what God has been telling us to do, and we started this vision kind of seeking process to define. We know what our general mission is, to make disciples of the international community, but how more specifically does God want us to do that? And I'm thrilled when people come like Francis and Marge with their ideas, but Gary was saying, before you rush ahead with your strategy, make sure you have the vision clear first, because God has a unique, special vision for IBC Bremen that no other church has. And make sure that your new exciting strategies and ideas are not jumping ahead of the gun, but being driven by the vision that God has already given. For me, that was the greatest thing God said last week, that we continue working focused on our vision-seeking process, so that then we can really work fast and quickly on, well, not just quickly, but thoroughly, in the particular strategies that come out of that are driven by that. So Gary said a mobilized vision church has a biblical mission, Matthew 28:19, a shared vision like they've got there, and effective strategies for the general aim. So he said, he told me this personally, and he told us together in the talks, always be driven by the vision first. That church was planted in 2005 when I was my first year in Frankfurt by another pastor, and now they have 1,100 people worshiping. They've already planted two other congregations in 11 years. Interesting. A church that's connected to this New Testament kind of model. Okay, it's an American kind of church. We know that's a bit different, but I think nevertheless they've found some connection with New Testament principles, a mobilized church. So what is God's vision for IBC Bremen, this big vision in our context? Let's keep praying, let's keep dreaming, and we'll be looking at ways to find that together. So it's not just the pastor saying this is it, but together we're hearing God and finding that. And be patient with us, be patient with me, because that may take some time. It is taking time, and I know that a lot of people are really eager to get on and get on. That's great, but let's not rush ahead of God. Let's hear God together, be clear what it is, and go forwards in what he's doing. Secondly, the second session was about a church being bold, and Francis has said a lot about that already, so I'm not going to say too much, but we were being encouraged by the church in Jerusalem when, as they grew, the persecution came, and it became difficult, and Peter and John were thrown into prison because of preaching the gospel, and they were being threatened to stop doing it, but instead of shying away and keeping quiet, like I might have done if I was threatened like that, they were boldly preaching, so much so that the religious leaders saw the courage, they noted the courage of Peter and John. We too are going to need to be bold. And when God brings his vision to us, which could seem quite out of a crazy idea, we shouldn't just accept any crazy idea, but are we going to be prepared to recognize, to listen, to discern a God idea that is actually, in the world's terms, crazy? Gary referred to C.S. Lewis's Aslan, and this one of my favorite quotes as well from that series of books. In the first book, when the little girl Lucy is beginning to realize that Aslan, who represents Jesus Christ, this person who's the ultimate lord over this wonderful country of Narnia, she begins to realize he's actually a lion. My goodness. And she says to Mr. Beaver, "Is he safe?" And Mr. Beaver says, "Of course he's not safe, but he's good." God's not safe. God's plans for IBC Bremen will be very unsafe if they're going to really be big. Because he's not into safe, he's into good. Of course he wants to look after us, to protect us, don't get me wrong. But let's not be locked into being careful out of human carefulness. Let's be wise, yes. Let's take care, be responsible, but not in this negative self-perspective. Let's be prepared for God's big ideas, because this is the kind of stuff that was going on in Jerusalem. When the threats came, they were not saying, "Well, we better be careful and retreat," were they? They were being, as Francis has said, bold. Are we going to allow God to bring us along in this sort of thing? Are we going to go and enjoy God's new things, or stay and miss out on his best? So Gary's lesson, the second lesson, he said, opportunities become defining moments when we respond with bold faith and fearless obedience. I wonder what opportunities God has given us at present, and let's continue to talk about that. But one opportunity that I keep being reminded of is the large and significant number of young adults who have been coming here for years and continue to do so. And how we have an opportunity with you guys to train you, to mentor you, a bit like Empire does, so that you can be leaders here quickly, get you moving like they do in India, or you've become a leader in the next place God takes you. We have an opportunity here at IBC Bremen, don't we? Now, how are we going to do that? I don't know yet. And I want us to talk about it together, so it's not just my idea, and maybe it's not exactly what God's saying, but maybe it is. Let's talk about it. That's just one possibility. So many more international people. We have an opportunity. There must be so many more internationals around, but where do we meet them? How do we get to know them? I'm not sure. But how are we going to do it? This is an opportunity. So many people who are coming to IBC Bremen who come for a few Sundays, they're hungry for a small group. Where are the small groups? We're beginning to see some come. Great. We have an opportunity to do this thing like we did with the children, with each other. We all need to be in that. There's lots of lonely people in Bremen. There's lots of lonely international Christians in Bremen. That's an opportunity. What are we doing about it? Let's go for it. Let's see these things move on. And so let's pray, Lord, give us the wisdom to recognize your big vision and the boldness to seize the defining moment. Don't let us, Lord, play it safe and be taken out of the game. as to use Gary's words. And a reproducing church is actually what the New Testament model is. What an exciting idea. It's not a new idea, it's the original idea. We should be thinking whatever our vision is going to look like specifically, it's going to include that we reproduce, because that is the biblical way. That's why we're here. Because 25 years ago, those our forefathers planted, including some of you who are still faithfully here, planted this church. And he pointed out, thirdly, that a reproducing church is always an unselfish church, because a selfish church won't reproduce. So we've got to be unselfish, as Nicola said in her prayers, if we're going to. You heard enough about that last week as well, but it was coming, for those of you who weren't there, from Acts 13, where the Holy Spirit spoke in the church meeting at Antioch, calling them to set apart Saul and Barnabas for the work that they had been called to. And Gary was pointing out that that was calling that church to set apart their two top leaders and 40% of their leadership. That's sacrificial, isn't it? Costly. Giving your best. And maybe, as we've heard tonight, that for some of us means obeying a call to go and live on the other side of the world, to go and learn another language completely. Sarah and Graham, that's what they're doing in Italy. I think of William Carey, the founder of the British Baptist Missionary Society, who risked sickness, and his wife died within months of his arrival in India, but he spent the rest of his life following that call, and so on. There are all kinds of ways this cost could be, but they prepared to pay the price, and they gave of their best, the best ones. And the vision was downloaded in the context of fasting and worshiping, and so on. An unselfish church will become a reproducing church, and a church, finally, to whom lost people matter. And so the last passage that we looked at was the three stories in Luke 15 of lost things, a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. Because God is so concerned about the lost. And churches that are also sharing that concern are churches that will be in connection with this New Testament DNA. So our mission is clear. Our DNA is to make disciples and be reproducing churches. The next step for us here, I think, is to continue to seek and hear and define together God's more specific vision for our next few years, so that we can continue that process we've begun. Gary said, for example, you might say that in 2 years' time you have two services in here and the place is full. And I'm thinking, cool, wait a minute, Crumbs, how could we do that? And I'm immediately thinking, that is not New Testament Acts thinking, Paul. That is thinking of a British Baptist grew up in 1960s England, thinking small, 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 small. That's not thinking God, 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 is it? Paul has to change his way of thinking, and that's not easy, but it's what we have to do, I think. And I'm prepared to go for it. How about you? That's one idea. I'm, again, not saying that's what we should do. We have to work it out together. That was his suggestion. He said, so in 4 years, why don't you have three churches planted around Bremen, satellite churches, not just small groups, but actual congregations? Why not? That's what they're doing there. Why can't we do it here? Well, we can't do that. Well, why can't we? Why can't we? Eh? Let's seek to go for this. So this is why I'm thrilled with these new ideas. But let's just continue to see how we're led in getting this vision in place so that we can develop the strategies we will need to accomplish these things. So far, we have sensed this fresh call to find new ways to reach to the non-believing internationals, this fresh call to mobilize everybody sitting in here for our mission, which is all of us making disciples in the process. That's what we're here for. That's our mission. We've sensed a call to refresh our leadership structure, to empower and release lots more people into leadership, and also to get a leadership pipeline going so that we're training leaders. So I was encouraged that things that we are doing are in alignment with where God was leading Gary to speak to us. And we're also thinking about, and we're seeing small group satellites beginning to come and making more contact with the internationals and so on. So the 4 points to take away. A New Testament DNA Church is a mobilized church. It's on the move, balanced. And a New Testament church is a church boldly ready for the defining moment, the challenge that God will bring with his specific big vision. And a reproducing church, because it's a selfless church, an unselfish church. And that unselfish church will be a church to whom lost people matter. My last quote from him: a mobilized church has a biblical mission, shared vision, and effective strategies for impacting its community and multiplying disciples, leaders, and congregations. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for what you have encouraged us by and spoken to us of this evening through testimony, through the scriptures, through what Gary brought to us last weekend. And we ask you by your Spirit to seal those words that are from you deep within us. We specifically pray that you will continue to guide us step by step as we seek to be in alignment with where you're taking us. And specifically, we pray for your lead on that more specific vision for the coming few years, so that we can throw our energies that you've given into those strategies for seeing us grow to reach the new people who you're going to bring, that you long to reach, the lost internationals of this area, and to see your kingdom come as the church multiplies and plants and reproduces, the church in general, the church that we're, the convention that we're part of, the German Baptist Union we're part of, and here in Bremen, this church. Lord God, we pray that we trust you to lead us every step in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Nicola, thanks.